AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. It has been 12 days now since Danilo Cavalcante escaped prison in Pennsylvania, but police say the convicted killer is still out there. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says they need the public's help.
We remain concerned that Cavalcante will attempt to steal another vehicle to facilitate his escape. As a reminder, we ask for the public's help by familiarizing themselves with the updated photographs and description of Cavalcante, to check security cameras they have, and to call us immediately if they believe they may have seen him.
Cavalcante changed his appearance over the weekend, but reportedly reached out to people he knew for help. Americans gathered at Ground Zero today as tributes unfolded across the country to remember the nearly 3,000 people killed in the 9/11 terror attacks. WCBS TV's Dick Brennan is in New York.
Many are gathered by this reflecting pool here. Place a flag, a flower, a memento, something personal that can help them think back, not only on just the events of the day, but also their loved one. But today they say this memorial brings them peace as they reflect on the events of 22 years ago.
Vice President Kamala Harris joined that ceremony in New York. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was at the Pentagon.
We remain relentlessly focused on combating terrorist threats to America.
President Biden will join service members at a ceremony on a military base in Alaska in just a few hours. The FDA has approved new COVID boosters to combat a new strain of the virus that's now driving up cases in the U.S. A CDC advisory board will meet tomorrow to discuss who can get those shots. But after that, millions of doses are expected to be shipped to pharmacies and clinics nationwide. Gun advocates are suing New Mexico's governor.
New Mexico Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is now facing lawsuits days after she said people cannot carry guns in public in and around some cities and counties for the next 30 days. Protests followed, including one Sunday in Albuquerque, where demonstrators walked around guns in hand.
This governor has overstepped her bounds big time with squashing our constitutional rights. It's time for it to stop.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Days after a deadly earthquake in Morocco, rescue crews are still digging through debris for possible survivors. This man spoke through an interpreter from his village outside of Marrakesh.
The cliff fell on them. The people are still under the rubble, and no one can remove the stones, and the authorities haven't sent the equipment to remove them, as they haven't done so for 3 days. You can smell the corpses everywhere.
More than 2,600 people were killed in that quake. Thousands more are still missing. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every piece of land has a story. For the Nelsons, it's cruising around their Montana ranch on a John Deere Gator XUV 835R. With 3,000 acres, there's plenty of work to do.
We're not afraid to jump in and help each other out.
That's how they've kept their ranch going for 5 generations.
It's all about efficiency.
Like teaching visitors to fly fish.
The whole joy with fly fishing is matching the hatch.
Run with us on a Gator XUV 835R and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. partly cloudy tonight with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 47. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 65. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Have your host behind the mic, James J. Thanks for joining me. I am solo today, everybody. Yeah, I am without my partners in sports, Randy Paul and, of course, Seth Hebhager. We're going to handle this together, though. Yes, I'm not alone. I got all of you. 424-2600. This is the show you've been waiting for, everybody. You want to call up and join the conversation and act like you're the co-host today? Get in the co-pilot seat. Join us. 424-2600. We're here to talk Badgers, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, whatever it is that you want to talk about. Let's go ahead and discuss. I want to kick things off right here. For those that didn't hear, this is important for tonight's game, the Monday night game with the Jets and Bills. A bar in Milwaukee is offering to pay your tab every time Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets lose this season. There are, of course, catches to this. Your tab must be opened at least 15 minutes before kickoff. It can include food. You got to be there for the whole game. Aaron must be starting. And here's the real kicker. Jets games played at the same time as Packer games don't count. And that's only like four times this year. So there's a lot of like outliers to this and everything. But as far as promotions go, I got to say, outside of the outliers, this is a great idea. You should have done it for every game. You should have expanded a little bit more. I could see some critiques here and there, but I digress. That's a great idea. That's fun. I like this. I want to know what you guys think of this and anything else on your minds. Let's find out. Good morning. You're on. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Are you sure you want to talk to me today?
You know, here's the thing, because we're going to get into the Chicago Green Bay game. This show's an hour. It was going to happen at some point or another. I've spent my half my life here in Wisconsin, and over half my life, the Bears have sucked. I'm so numb to this. There's nothing you can say or any announcer can say that it's just, I don't even feel it anymore. Like, I don't even have hope. Like, there's none of that anymore. It's been completely beaten out of
Caleb Williams now.
You know, there you go. You know, we can always look at Caleb Williams. I will say this right away. I'm glad you said that because anybody that wants to sell their stock on Justin Fields, I will buy it. I am all in on that. I love week one of the NFL season because you have the smartest minds in football losing their minds. And everybody wants to jump. You got half the people that want to put Jordan Love in the Hall of Fame. You got the other half that want to think Justin Fields is a bust. It's just hilarious to me. Now, I know you, my man, you and I usually talk pretty basic, pretty down to earth. What was your take from the game?
Well, I think just like what I was hoping Jordan was going to do. He managed the game, and he managed the game not to lose. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of errant throws, yes, I 100%. But I think he went in there with a mentality of, I mean, sometimes you overthink, that could be the worst thing for you, too. But I just think that he managed the game very well. That to me was Matt LaFleur's offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was his. And actually, Joe Barry was finally aggressive with the defense. I mean, they were saying that Pro Football Focus had the Packers down for 35 pressures compared to the Bears 6 or something like that is what I heard. And it's like, wow. But, I mean, it was overall, I think the weekend itself, except for Saturday night, was a pretty good weekend. I mean, the Brewers took it to the Yankees except for yesterday. That was kind of frustrating. But, and then the Packers winning. Yeah, it was an overall good weekend. I mean, good weekend for sports. Alabama lost, so they're out of the national championship talk.
Well, probably, but we've seen one loss teams get in there, especially when they're loved like Alabama. But I hear what you're saying. It doesn't look like they looked. If you watched that game, they looked outmatched by Texas.
Yes, he did. And I don't think Alabama's going to go with only one loss this year.
No, I don't think so either.
The SEC is tough, and I'd be lucky if we see an SEC team in the playoff, tell you the truth.
Ooh, you know, they could. There's something that I think is a really interesting conversation about the SEC cannibalizing itself to the point where everybody's got two losses and nobody gets in. I think that's an interesting conversation. We'll talk. Right. We can talk Packers as long as we talk Badgers. That's the rule today. I'm joking. When it comes to I want to focus on the Packers for a second, because this is, again, as I always like to state, coming from a Chicago diehard Chicago fan and everything, and I love that team, and I am not selling my stock on that team or anything, never will. But the difference of I heard a lot of people wanting to compare Justin Fields, Jordan Love, the time to sit back and watch a quarterback, the time to you're rushed out there, all these different things. The big difference is shown to you right in the jerseys. You don't have to overthink this. The Green Bay organization has shown you they know how to take care of players. They know how to prep players and know how to get them ready. If Jordan Love wasn't ready to play, I would have put that on Jordan Love. I would not have put that on Matt LaFleur. I would not have put that on the organization. They have done this enough times, and they have shown us multiple times over decades that they can do this. Chicago right. has shown you the exact opposite. I think that in spite of a lot of the management and a lot of the way they run things in Chicago, Justin Fields is so talented that he was able to pull off half of the Mighty Mouse things he was last year and a number of things that he probably will this year in spite of those things. It's the opposite of franchises. It's not that hard to overthink this. Jordan Love, I've been saying this since the day he was drafted. He's a good kid. He's got a good brain on him. He needs time to season. He needs time to get ready and stuff. As soon as you throw him out there, though, look at him. I don't know what the expectations for Jordan Love are. I don't think the ceiling is that high. I think what you're expecting is what you saw on Sunday, a guy who doesn't blow the game. That's what you're looking for in the Matt LaFleur offense. Just don't mess up the game. Do your thing. Hit the spots when you can. Take your shots every once in a while and run the dang ball. That's his offense. And it's not hard to mess that up. Justin Fields on the other side, they're trying to break this down for him. They're trying to make it easier for him, et cetera, et cetera. And I still see a kid who I love and I'm a huge fan of, but is still learning the position.
Well, and I agree with you on that. I mean, Green Bay has an identity. I mean, they pretty much have their identity.
Hmm.
Chicago hasn't had that in how long?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I would have to say probably since Cutler. I mean.
Yeah. Chicago Bears offense, their identity has always been their defense. their identity has always been, hey, defense, get us like 14, please.
Well, with that, where do we go from here with the Packers? Yeah, I mean, it was nice. It's a rivalry thing. You know, you always got to get your digs into each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be the same thing coming up here in a few weeks when they play the Lions and, the, you know, that, the, you know, the old NFC Central, you know, you get the Bears, Packers, Lions, and the Vikings. You know, you noting, well, there's always, you know, everybody's kind of poking each other, trying to poke each other a little bit on the game. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I did not expect that from Chicago yesterday. I mean, the first half they played well, but it's like they came out the second half and it's like it was a totally different team. And then the Packers were the Packers were totally different too. But
I
was just kind of hoping it wasn't coming down to the rookie kicker, but then he kicked that 52-yarder at the end of the half. It's like, okay.
Honestly, I thought that was because I've been seeing this half my life with Green Bay and Chicago. I wasn't surprised by the outcome. I was a little surprised that they didn't finish stronger on the Chicago side, but I was impressed by the running game and some of that. To me, on the Chicago side, I saw a team that wasn't coached smart enough, wasn't coached well enough. On the Green Bay side, I see a lot of promise, a lot of hope. You've got a team that for over a decade has been built to win. So you have a to your point about identity, you have a team that if Aaron Rodgers was still there, we'd be talking Super Bowl expectations. The only difference is the quarterback. That's the only change. That quarterback changes and immediately expectations are different. Now it's here we're hoping for a good season. We're hoping to see what we have in Jordan Love, et cetera, et cetera. That team is not only identity, that team is ready to win. And they've been doing that. They've shown that they could do that. Last year, an outlier, I think. You throw in a young rookie quarterback who is not going to take chances. You're not going to see Jordan Love. You're more likely to see Jordan Love say something on the microphone foolish than do something on the field that foolish. He's just not that kid. You got the perfect quarterback for this offense. You can see why LaFleur drafted him in the first. Why we moved up to get him. It wasn't because he was the most talented quarterback in the draft. It was because he was the quarterback that he knows could run his offense.
Right. You know, I heard one of the outtakes this morning from his press conference today or last night, and he said that he admitted he screwed up there at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. He almost took him out of field goal range by taking that sack.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I need to make sure I don't do that ever again.
Yeah.
Unlike 12, he would put the blame on the offensive line for that happening, where Jordan pretty much said, that was my fault. I never should have took that sack.
Yeah. I saw two things in the press conferences yesterday from these young quarterbacks. Accountability. I saw Justin Fields go to the mic and immediately apologize to the team, to the fan base, and all this. And I know all quarterbacks do a lot of that stuff, but we see a lot of these young quarterbacks not taking the accountability. I love seeing that in that quarterback, and I really love seeing the way Jordan Love handled things of expectations and understanding that there's a lot of games to be played. It was a really cool thing to see in both these quarterbacks, and no matter the outcome, I'm excited for the next, you know, God knows how many years in football we get of these guys. These two going back and forth, that's going to be a lot of fun to me. You got Atlanta coming up in for Green Bay. I don't know if that's – so looking ahead here, because we're going to do the old trope that every sports show does, looking at the schedule. You've got Atlanta, the Saints, and then Detroit. Detroit seems like the game to worry about coming up there. But that New Orleans – with Derek Carr, it wasn't a bad game for them. I think that you can learn a lot about your team in these next two games, building up to that next divisional game with Detroit.
Well, yeah, and you know, Atlanta really didn't look terrible either yesterday.
No,
what you're seeing, minus a few teams, which last night's game out. We don't even want to talk about that. I'm just totally surprised at that whole deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But the parity in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, you know, they're talking pregame stuff. You know, they're talking about can Casey repeat, and, you know, and they haven't done it since, I think, what the Patriots did it back in the early 2000s. Look forward, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think the Packers have a really tough schedule here at the beginning of the year because you're on the road for three games.
Yeah.
And then you come home against Detroit. So
I like I like seeing those headlines, winners and losers of week one or predictions mm-hmm. after week one, because it's always one of the silliest things to me, because by week 16 none of this will matter. But the wins and losses and the injuries, that's all that'll matter by week 16. Even before that, week 10, that's all that'll matter. By Thanksgiving, that's what'll matter. It's fun to see, for me, as somebody who loves the storylines in sports, it's fun to see this up and down of what can happen in the NFL season. But I we have to take a moment before we go to college football. If you've got a second, I want to talk to you about the Badgers.
Yep.
Before we do that, we have to both take a moment. Yes, it was rough for us Chicago Bear fans yesterday. Not as bad as Minnesota. Not as bad. Maybe there was expectations and there's hope on Justin Fields, blah, blah, blah. If you're a real Bear fan, you weren't paying attention to that. You were not surprised by yesterday. If you were a Minnesota fan, though, every Minnesota fan I know was drinking the Kool-Aid. There's one in Seth here that was kind of like, well, I don't know. But outside of that, most of the Minnesota fans I know were, well, if we won so many games last year close, we got to win at least some of those this year. That week one, you know, you can't tell a whole lot from week one, but I am saying this, and I will say it till the end of days. I cannot believe that Kirk Cousins can win you a Super Bowl. I don't care if you give him Justin Jefferson and Randy Moss. I just don't think Kirk Cousins can win you a Super Bowl.
I mean, he's proven it. I mean, he hasn't won a playoff game, really.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he's a great regular season quarterback. He just can't.
If you got a fantasy football team, you Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback to have if you're right. talking fantasy yeah. sports or something. Outside of that, I just haven't seen that in him. It's not about his talent to me. It isn't even just about his headspace, what's in between his ears and everything. I think when you've been watching a game as long as you, I, and many, many people out there have been, whether you know it or not, you see something in a player that you, whether they're going to win or not, plenty of people looked at Dan Marino and thought he'd win a Super Bowl. But you know when you see certain players more so than others, I don't see that guy doing it. I don't see that guy doing it. We've been wrong before. I didn't see Trent Dilfer winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but how many times though have we said it though with was it Sam Bradford? Not Bradford.
Andrew Luck.
He's with the Rams now. He was with Detroit.
Oh, Stafford. Yes, Matthew Stafford. Stafford. Yeah.
I mean, how many times did we say with Matthew Stafford that he's not going to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah,
By winning his, when he won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I pretty much said that now he pretty much has got the gold jacket because he's got that Super Bowl win.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kirk Cousins, is it going to be have to do it, go to a different team? Maybe.
I guess for me,
I think he can do it, but I think he's going to have to do it with a different team.
Well, I think he got the Matthew Stafford treatment. He got to Minnesota. He had weapons. He's had weapons the last couple of years. That defense they've been putting time and money into. I think the excuses have run out for Kirk Cousins. To me, with Matthew Stafford, the difference between those two is one particular game. And Matthew Stafford's, I think his rookie year or second year, they're going down, they're trying to march, they're trying to win the game, dislocates his shoulder, stays in the game, makes the pass, finishes, wins the game. That what he just showed in that play right there, in that drive, is more than I've ever seen from a Kirk Cousins' whole career. There's something about a certain player, and I can't say that I can put my finger on it, that there's a stat that'll tell you it or anything like that. It's just something you see. There's just nothing in him to me that says that guy's going to be going to get you to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. I don't see it, and I'm not a hater on him or anything. I know I'm sounding like one, but I don't have a feeling about Kirk Cousins one way or the other. I mean, let him live his life. I don't care if he wants to win a game and put on a bunch of chains on the airplane and stuff. Go for it, man. Do your thing. But you talk that loud, you have to be able to back it up.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I mean, I do agree with you. And I mean, you see a difference, actually, if you did, put a shameless plug in for that quarterback series they did on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And they followed him around. If you watch that, I gained a little bit more respect for him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And how he treats his body, he treats, does everything. I mean, I guess I respect him a little bit more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, he's always going to have that. And I think the media, I can't blame the media for it, but there's people, I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself too. He gets that playoff game and it's like, oh, I haven't won one. I got to win it. I do like him. I think he's a good guy. I mean, will he ever win one? He might be that Dan Marino and never, have great teams mm-hmm. never get that ring. We can say the same thing too for maybe Jordan and other people, but I just don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of regular season heroes. There's a lot of great ones out there. I want to talk before we because I've kept you too long as it is. I know you got other things to do, but I did want to talk a little Badgers with you because I think that. I was really encouraged talking to. I've got so many I got more Badger fans in my life than I do of any of the other teams. Maybe the Brewers are second, Packers close third. I was watching some of the game with some Badger fans, and the calm and the understanding of the looking at the big picture, I was a little surprised by. I think college football could use a little bit more of this. I guarantee you they're not doing that in Alabama. I guarantee you. Of all the crazy sentences I've heard today on sports radio, it's that Nick Saban's on the hot seat, which he is. It's realistic. He's actually on the hot seat in Alabama. But in Wisconsin and out of this team and out of the fan base, from what I've seen at least, is a lot of take a breath. This is a brand new coach with a brand new system. He doesn't even have all of his players, et cetera, et cetera. Is that how you were feeling after the game?
Yeah. I think the way they recruited, I still think the guys that they have on defense is still a Jim Leonard type players, where if Tressel comes in, he's going to have his own type of defensive players. And then he's going to, so most of those guys haven't been in this type of defense. I guess where I got frustrated on Saturday is that the week before you ran for almost over 200 yards rushing. By halftime, each running back only had a handful of carries.
Yeah.
If you couldn't get anything, I don't understand. He wants that air raid type offense. Man, you got two running backs, and you had that offensive line. You got to bury them.
Yep.
And you got to lay on them. You got to lean on them and just get them. I think once they started running the ball more in the second half there, you saw a different ball team. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just.
I was impressed with the defense coming out of halftime on Wisconsin's side. I was impressed with that. I thought that the fourth quarter was a loss for both teams, really. But I was really disappointed in Wisconsin just in that. What you're saying, you have Braylon Allen. You got two great backs, but Braylon Allen, let's just focus on that young man who is going to be playing on Sundays in a year or two from now. You have that kid. I want to see 20, 30 touches at least by the fourth quarter, or if not going through the fourth quarter. I don't know how you don't do that other than maybe seeing something in the defense we didn't see and they were trying to take advantage of. I'm not sure. I have a tendency to trust the coaching and the talent when it's proven. And look, Coach Fickell and his staff, while not in UW, they have proven enough to me in college football to believe. I got to say, though, that as much as I hated seeing Wisconsin lose and all this, kind of good for Washington State. That quarterback they have, that team they have, this loss hurts Wisconsin, but it's not devastating. They're going to move on. It's going to be a good. But this win for Washington State is what college football is all about. They're a young team. They're building. They're trying to find a where to go. The Pac-10's dead.
They're going to find a new conference.
Yeah, you can go to the. You can actually. There's a garage sale a couple blocks down. I saw on the way here that you can actually pick up the Pac-10. I believe you can actually get it at that garage sale. Good for them. I kind of like seeing this stuff. Again, I didn't want to see Wisconsin lose by any means, but as long as this is the outcome we got, we can't change it. Good for these smaller schools. These schools that are just fighting to stay alive in what is becoming the Fox and ESPN kind of conferences.
Right. When I think we talked a little bit before about the Badger season, I think I told you the Badgers would go probably 10-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was one of the losses I had circled.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
Them, this one and then Ohio State.
Yeah, I had Ohio State and honestly, as silly as this sounds now to say, I actually thought that the Purdue game might be tough. I don't know now.
Yeah, it could be.
Purdue or Iowa. Either because they got Iowa at home, I didn't think that won't be bad. But those games always seem to be kind of like you go into it feeling like you know what's going to happen and then chaos, they bring you to their level or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going down this weekend, so we'll see.
Have a great time. Do us a favor. Call us up on Monday. Do some reporting.
I will.
And thanks for talking to us, man. We appreciate the time. You have a great day.
All right, James. You have a great week.
You too, man. 424-2600 is a phone number. Call up and join the conversation. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little more Badgers if you want. We'll talk whatever you want. I want to get into high school football scores over the weekend, get you our schedule as well coming up, and we're going to give away a shirt. Yes, it's live. I told you guys a couple of times. Every time we are live on the radio, we're getting one of these shirts in your hands. We got some new stickers we'll get with you as well. All that coming up right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
All right, Quality Plus Printing team, let's make this a wicked awesome play. Tracy, you go right. Alan, you go left. McKenna, you go deep. Maria, Kathy, Carrie, Sue, Ann, and Dan, give me time to throw. Printing and design. On one. Get your words out. Get your words out. With Quality Plus Printing. Set. Hut. Printing, graphics, and design. The team at Quality Plus Printing scores a touchdown every time.
A proud supporter of high school athletics.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 47. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 65. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers on your radio dial, your host James behind the mic, and my co-host today is you. Call up 424-2600, join the conversation. You got sports thoughts, we want to hear them, bring them to us. Doesn't matter what sport you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Bring it to us, 424-2600. Let's get local. Let's touch on our local high school teams. Not that if you were paying attention, you want me to touch on the scores from last weekend. But I do want to give a shout out to Randy Paul and the great work that he did on that, Seth, and the great running of the running the board and the production. Great job by those guys. Appreciate their coverage of this. So just catching everybody up, Marathon Red Raiders demolished the Assumption Royals 48-7. Not much better on the other side. The Jug is staying went to Stevens Point as the Panthers beat up the Red Raiders 41-9. Nakusa lost as well to Wauwega Fremont 40-20. And Pacelli lost to Pittsville, 60-14. Your Port Edwards Blackhawks were beat by Three Lakes Blue Jays, 58-7. Rough season so far. Let's be honest about this. I talked with Sheriff Becker about this on air, off air, with the Lincoln Red Raiders. Talking with Randy about the Assumption Royals. It's a long season, but we've seen seasons like this around here before where maybe the teams aren't as competitive as we as alumni and locals would like them to be. And I got to say, it's a lot easier to root for your high school teams when maybe they're not as good as you'd like them to be. For me, I strip down the wins and losses, and I'm just happy to see the games. I'm just happy for these kids. I think it's exciting. I wonder the older I get because I feel like I'm leaning more and more towards high school sports. And I don't know if I'm alone on this one, 424-2600. For those of us that have been alive long enough to see these sports grow and change, NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, kind of grow from being about the sport to turning into what they've always been, entertainment, but being leaning. It used to be sports entertainment. Now it feels like it's become much, much more entertainment sports. And maybe it was always that. And it's just, you know, we're marketing the games differently. We're getting them on TV differently. Certainly the way you take in games is different. I don't know. But with the influence of technology and money and power and all these things, I just find myself leaning more and more into high school sports just because I love the games. I was raised by athletes, and I was raised to genuinely love the game. One of my oldest memories is in the same week seeing my dad get into a knockout, drag-out boxing match at Windy City, and him and this guy, who I thought they hated each other, and at the end of the match, were laughing and hugging each other. That weekend, I saw my dad in a hockey match, playing against these guys, my dad, by the way, without a helmet, just my father, and beating the living daylights out of each other, smashing each other on the boards, all of this. They win a close game, and at the end of this, they're shaking hands in a line. To me, that's sports. That's the fun and the chaos and the beauty of it. I'm not saying you lost that in the pro game, but yeah, kind of miss seeing some of that in the pro games with all the sports. I think they're all have this happening to them. Let's take a look at the upcoming games this week. Assumption taken out on iScan Friday at 7. Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders look to get back in the win column, taking on the Hortonville Polar Bears. That game we are looking to have for you on our sister station, WIRI. We are waiting to confirm for sure if we'll be able to play that one for you. As soon as we know, you will know. Nikusa's taking on Manama. There, that at 7. Auburndale taking on Pittsville, also Friday at 7. Saturday got a game for you. Port Edwards taking on Newman. That game at 1. And, of course, we'll, again, let you know about this. I can tell you, oh, we'll let you know about that game on Friday, if that'll be on WIRI or not. I can tell you, looking ahead of our schedule, Wednesday, Luke Fickell radio show. This is the, you know, week one, nice win. This is, to me, if you're a Badger fan, you don't want to see your team lose, of course. But you do want to see how your coach handles a loss. And it'll be interesting to hear how Coach Fickell what he has to say after about this last game. Because this isn't an excuse guy. This is an accountability guy. And he expects the same thing from his players. So I expect to hear a very transparent and, quite honestly, kind of beating himself up a little bit maybe. Because he does not take losses well, Luke Fickell. So I'm very curious to hear what he has to say. You can hear it with us, 7:05 Wednesday, right here on WFHR. Also right here on Saturday, with a 9 a.m. start time, Wisconsin hosting Georgia Southern. That great classic matchup of Wisconsin and Georgia Southern. No, they've. I don't know how many times they've played. Not that often, but they've played before. But this is a game that obviously your Badger should win and should win handedly. It's an early game. But I think if this was last year and you had Coach Christ coming into this game, I really wouldn't think that there's too much to take in other than, hey, maybe you get to see your Badgers run up the score, get some nice stats for Braylon Allen, et cetera, et cetera. This is still a new coaching staff. With some transfer players, from guys from the portal. You've got a lot of chemistry needing to be built. I love Allen Iverson. I'm one of the biggest fans of his there's ever been. But when he had his practice line. Practice? We talking about practice? One of the first things I thought of is the follies in sports. And especially in football. I think maybe more than any... hockey probably, but... Hockey or football, it's got to be a tie of you can tell when the practice isn't there. You can tell when these guys don't have time to prep. If you need evidence of that, look at what happened to the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday with Joe Burrow. I don't think anybody out there is gonna wouldn't turn down taking Joe Burrow outside of Kansas City Chiefs fans, maybe. I don't know many people out there that would put Joe Burrow, below any of the today's quarterbacks. Got a lot of good ones out there, and there's a lot of hope for some of the younger quarterbacks and everything, but I think Joe Burrow has done enough in his short career, especially if you include college, to show you he's that guy. He's that guy that's going to get it done. Again, if you want to sell your Joe Burrow stock, I'll buy it. I'll take it. It doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are. For one, if you're not 100%, which I'm not sure he is. But even if he was, without that practice, without that timing. It's no different, obviously, in college football. Especially when they have even less time to prepare. And they're still getting to know each other. Again, these are things that I don't think you're going to hear too much from Coach Fickell because I think they're coming across as excuses. To me, there's a big difference of an excuse and facts. I actually don't mind when there's a major injury. You lose your starting quarterback, and the coach comes out and is injuries played its part, or something like that. I don't think of that as an excuse. We all saw the same thing. That's a fact. A quarterback was injured. He's better than the backup quarterback. That's why he was starting. That's not an excuse to me. An excuse is... Well, the refs did this, or yeah, the other team was cheating, or something. Maybe that's true, but it just doesn't come across right when you say it. You got to let other people say that stuff. And to me, I don't. I've saw nothing but accountability from Coach Fickell in the post game with the media afterwards, and from the players. And I think one of the things that I took from that game, too, especially seeing the Washington State quarterback and the team so excited and so happy, if you were looking past them and looking at the Badger sideline, looking at the Badger players, I didn't see players with their heads down. I saw them a little angry, a little frustrated, but not defeated. That, to me, is a big difference. That, to me, is a big outlier. It's hard to read body language. I don't like the idea of trying to get into another person's head or heart. But from what you can take from it, I didn't see a Badger team that I saw a Badger team that was probably ready to play another game, like right after that one. They wanted to get right back out there and take on Buffalo or Washington State or Georgia Southern or Purdue or whoever. Just put them in front of them. I think if you look around the college landscape, there's a lot more question marks for some really big teams. The caller earlier brought up Alabama. Alabama has not lost at home like that since 2004, I believe the stat was. Texas is a team that, for those that don't know, is going to be joining the SEC next year. So this was marketed as a bit of a preview. And it was marketed as, again, bluntly, the SEC having a chance to show why they are the most dominant conference, and look what we can do to a Big 12 team that wants to come to our conference. That's the way this game was designed years ago when they built the schedule and everything. They didn't know that Texas would be brought in, but there's been conversations for over a decade between Texas and the SEC. Nobody had on their bingo card Texas winning the way they did. Many people had Texas winning. I don't think many people had Texas as that kind of win. Where it wasn't the score, it wasn't the stats. I don't think you have to watch many highlights even. Watch the defense and offensive lines. Watch the skill positions. The talent was all on Texas. I think if you go position by position, Texas had the better player or the better group of players. And it's been a long time since Alabama walked on the field and that happened. Because even against a Georgia or an Ohio State, Alabama still had, well, maybe they're not the best at every position, but they got this position or they have that. I am interested if Nick Saban truly is on the hot seat or if this is just kind of like, talk. Be interesting to see. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back, talk a little Brewers. Let's talk some baseball when we get back on Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba!
Winona!
But also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country.
Winona!
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy tonight with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 47. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 65. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Say a good afternoon to all of our friends over there. Before we dive into baseball, I did want to give an update on Aaron Jones. I may have noticed him pulling up on that hammy as he was running into the end zone on Sunday. No update necessarily on that. They're still evaluating it, but if you pay attention to these things, especially with hamstring injuries, that's kind of not only what to be expected, but a good thing. A good thing in as far as that they don't have a set answer. That tells you that there's still some hope that he can play this Sunday. If I was a Green Bay fan, I would feel comfortable in knowing that if Aaron Jones can't play, I still have the quad master, A.J. Dillon, sitting there. Nice set of running backs they've got there in Green Bay. Let's talk baseball. Huh? I know the forgotten sport. Baseball. Poor baseball. I feel bad when it comes to this. I don't think we do enough, enough around here when it comes to covering us, me in particular, here with this show, covering baseball this time of year. To me, the most exciting part of the baseball season, you can make the argument, to me at least it is this part of the season, the last quarter of the season. And then it kind of gets, shadowed by football and college football and, all the other things that are going on in life. Let's take a moment, let's take some time and focus on MLB and all things Major League Baseball related. Of course, we start local with your Milwaukee Brewers, who are three games up over the Chicago Cubs. Brewers are 5-5 over the last 10. Sitting there at 79-63 on the season. Real quick side note, last week I saw an interesting stat on the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees were 69-69 for the first time since 1969. And that stat was brought to you by a 10-year-old boy. But I did think that was an interesting stat. It's one of the things I love about baseball. You could not, if you were trying to do that, you couldn't make it happen. It just has to happen on accident. It has to happen organically. Brewers, I think it's hard to say, are a comfortable three games up over the Chicago Cubs, but have to feel pretty good given what's been going on lately. And you've got a nice one on the diamond tonight. 7:40 Eastern time, that'll start off, as you've got Brandon Woodruff taking on Lizardo. That game in Milwaukee. How are you feeling going into the playoffs? Let's go ahead and just fast forward here a little bit, and let's say the Brewers do make the playoffs. What are you expecting? What would you like to see out of this? If we look at the standings right now in the National League, of course, you got the Braves running away with everything. Phillies have been hot here and there. Cubs have been hot here and there. The Dodgers, I have no idea. If it was just a matter of hitting, I would be looking at the Dodgers as the number two team, of course, to Atlanta, who is dominating like crazy. But who knows what pitching they're going to have or who's even going to be available. They got guys falling left and right, whether it's by injury or by off-the-field issues. Arizona has just been sitting there all season, just trying to pounce, having those runs here and there. So I think there's a lot of excitement. And yes, Atlanta is dominant. Houston is dominant. But how many times have we seen, and you don't have to look very far, you can even look in the past five seasons, that dominating, amazing team coming up short? Big-time baseball fans will remember the Seattle Mariners and their record-breaking season of wins that led to them losing in the first round of the playoffs. Baseball is so difficult with this. It's such a matter of who can stay in the game longer. Who can keep that energy up? Who can stay healthy long enough? How deep is your team? We see this all the time. Good teams just run out of steam. Or players. I'm not comfortable saying the Atlanta Braves won't have that happen to them. I'm not comfortable saying Houston would. If you give me one of those teams or the field, I'm taking the field. And why couldn't that be Milwaukee? When you get into the playoffs, anybody will tell you, give me three starting pitchers and a good bullpen. That's what I need. If I've got that, I feel confident going into the playoffs. Well, let me take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers roster, and would you look at that? 3 to 4 amazing starting pitchers and a bullpen that almost anybody in baseball would give anything for. You got to hit. You got to hit. Nobody's ever won a World Series 0-0. You got to be able to hit. And that's certainly a question mark. But I don't know. All you got to do is get invited to the dance and anything can happen. Should be interesting. I am curious to see how Atlanta is in the playoffs as well, given not only their history, which doesn't really matter. None of these players were on any of those teams and such. I'm curious, though, the fan base, how they handle it, because the fan base was there. That I'm curious about. Should see. Let's take a look at the AL. And again, 424-2600, feel free to call up and join the conversation. You have the power to shut me up at any time. All you got to do is call up. That's it. It's really easy. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Baltimore, 3 games up in the AL East. Minnesota, 7 games up in the AL Central, the division nobody seems to want to win. I can't tell half the time if Minnesota even wants to win it. I feel like they do. I'm pretty sure they do. But some of the games they lose, I don't know. The only thing I'm confident about in the AL is that the White Sox don't want to win it. That's it. That's the only thing I'm very confident about. In the AL West, of course, you have Houston, who surprisingly is only a couple games up over the Seattle Mariners and only 3 games up over the Rangers. You can make the argument that's the most competitive and greatest division in baseball. That you can make the argument. I'm not saying it is. I think you can make the argument. I don't think you have to look very far to the NL East or even the West in some ways to make that, a debate. But I think when you look at baseball right now, given we're wrapping up the season, Astros, Mariners, Rangers, Angels, all were in competition this season at one point. Outside of, Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever they end up. Boy, the Rangers, though. See, this is the thing when it comes to being such a sports nut and fan. When your team loses or when you have hope and it's gone and these things, it's rough. But you don't have to look very far to see other tragedy. I refuse to ever be the sports fan that takes more enjoyment in my team. You'd rather see your rival lose than your team win. Now, I'll never understand that sports fan, and I don't want to be able to understand that sports fan. That's teach their own. But that makes no sense to me. It says a lot about you as a human being, I think. Not even to deal with sports. But I will say, it makes you feel a little better. They're not getting around that. It's funny because I was saying that earlier about Minnesota, and I know some people that are Minnesota fans that were saying the same thing about Chicago. It just does. It's how it works. You feel a little better, but I don't take enjoyment necessarily out of it. I would still always rather see my team win than my rival lose. I don't know. What kind of sports fan are you? 424-2600, call up and let us know. How are you feeling about the rest of this baseball season? How are you feeling about the Ohtani situation? Telling you, they should have traded him. Something is better than nothing. Oh, you don't want to be the GM that traded Ohtani. Oh, you'll never get dollar back. You never get you get 5 cents on the dollar for him, etc., etc. What do you got now? You're gonna have an empty locker with his jersey in it. That's what you're gonna have. You're gonna have a fan base screaming, "How did this happen?" We had Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani for a stretch and got nothing out of it. How does the GM, how does anybody keep their job in California, Anaheim, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, Santa Cruz? I'm not sure where they're exactly. They keep changing the name. I'm not 100% of what they're going by now. I want to be fair and include every city basically in the greater California area. I don't know. That again, you know, you look at your team and it feels rough. Then you look at these others. Okay, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it could be worse. Perspective is important in sports. That's really the lesson today, everybody. Have perspective in sports. How many sports fans do you know, 424-2600, that have perspective? Isn't that almost the opposite of being a sports fan? We're supposed to lose our minds. See, I joke about the overreactions and everything, but I got to be honest. Part of me loves it because it's so ridiculous, and it's so funny to me. If the game was completely different, we can talk Badgers, Bucks, Packers, any outcome of any game that's come up. Flip the scores, flip the wins and losses, and you're going to get this reaction from that said base. It's kind of funny when you think about it, because these are people who it'd be one thing if this was your first season of ever watching football. Then okay, I get it. I get the overreactions. I get the you know, throwing out there the crazy takes and all that. But the majority of us have been watching this quite a while. For myself, over four decades, been watching football. And I have seen this week one 40 years, where you got blowouts, you got teams that look horrible, teams that with high expectations that didn't show up, teams that you weren't expecting to do good, do well. This is the game. This is how it goes. It's kind of fun to see how it all plays out. It's part of the reason I watch. I mean, I certainly don't have anything to root for as far as my team, so I got to have something to watch for. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. You can join us every Monday from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. Again, a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing sponsoring the show. This just came across the wire a little bit ago. Curious to know what you think in the last minutes. The NBA is likely to pass tougher rules on resting stars. This coming from Adrian Wojnarowski. The NBA is expected to pass more stringent rules and punishments to limit the resting of star players for nationally televised and in-season tournament games, and instances of multiple all-stars sitting out individual regular season games could involve discipline. This was a matter of time of this happening. But I was always curious of how they were going to like deal out the punishment. Like, we get that it's a problem. We get that this has, you know, gotten out of hand to some ways. You've been waiting all year to go to a Bucks game. You get to go and Giannis is sitting. Now, that doesn't happen with Giannis very often, but for a local example. So what is the NBA going to do about this? How do you punish something like that? And how do you prove a player isn't hurt when by week two, everybody's banged up? So there's almost a built-in excuse in the sport of so-and-so has to be, you know, hurt because, yeah, he's got a sore this, he's got a sore that. And what kind of discipline can you really inflict on teams? Now we're seeing from Adrian Wojnarowski that could be involved up to $1 million for each instance of violating resting players. $1 million ain't much to, you know, sneeze at. But if you own the Los Angeles Lakers and you're Jeannie Buss, and you've got a team that has been close but injuries or, you know, father time has gotten in the way, is $1 million worth a championship to you? Yes. That's an easy question to answer. $1 million? Shoot. Yeah, take my money. Just give me the championship. Teams have proven this throughout the dawn of sports. $1 million ain't going to stop them. It's no different than bail bonds. No criminal in human history has ever been like, oh, I'd commit this crime if it wasn't for the bail bonds being so high. No player is going to give up the idea of opportunity to play in the playoffs and possibly win a chip for $1 million. You're going to have to do better than that, you know, the NBA. I'm curious to see how that plays out. Great stuff on your dial this week in sports. Wednesday, Luke Fickell Show right here at 7:05. We will keep you up to date and let you know about that Lincoln High School-Hortonville game on WIRI. And, of course, Saturday, our pregame starts at 9. Your Badgers hosting Georgia Southern. It's going to be a good one. You can catch tons of sports here at Civic Media. We got all of your major teams covered some way or another. Whether it's with us or anybody else under the Civic Media umbrella, we got you covered. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks to the callers. Meet us back here Monday, 3 to